Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. It is good to recognize how God still works in great ways as he did in the past and makes a big difference in his people. And we can trust and rely on that in our lives as well. Exodus chapter 14. I feel like I just kind of need to give you a review. We kind of skipped around a little bit. We got through with Genesis and we found that the people of Israel were in Egypt. But then they forgot who Joseph was, the great one that kind of saved Israel and saved Egypt and really the rest of the world by his planning, by the issue of God. And then we find that they're there for about 400 years or 430 years. And then we turn to the book of Exodus. And chapter 1, we found that because Israel is so big, the numbers are so great, Egypt is afraid that the Israelites may attack them in a time of war. And so they begin to try to get rid of the Israelites. Matter of fact, they told the midwives to kill all the male children, which they did not. And then when you get to the end of chapter 2, or end of chapter 1 again, they're telling the people to throw their male children into the river. Well, chapter 2, Moses is born, and we know the story there that he was hid in the edge of the river and adopted by the princess of Egypt. And so you go from Exodus 2 to Exodus 3, which is going to be about 80 years, a long time. But in Exodus 3, Moses now sees the burning bush. Exodus 4, God speaks to him to speak to Pharaoh. He tries to wiggle out of that, but God convinced him. Exodus chapter 5, Moses stands before Pharaoh. Exodus 6, God reveals his name as Jehovah, a personal name to Moses and the people of Israel. And then you get to the plagues. Remember, if you had the first plague, it was the water to blood. And then he brought in frogs, then lice on the people, and then flies, then the cattle moraine. All the cattle begin to die. Bulls on people. Then you had a great hail storm that destroyed all the crops. You have locusts that come in and eat the residue. You have darkness for 3 days. And then finally, the death of the firstborn of everyone that was outside the house of Israel. And so we recognize great things were taking place. In chapter 13, we find that we're moving Israel out of Egypt. The Passover is taking place, and God's got them in a certain direction. And then chapter 14 happens, and everything changes. It is going to be good. So that's where we're going to pick up. And so let me just read a few verses out of chapter 14, and then we'll begin. It says in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Beelzebub. Before it ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after thee. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And they made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his armies. And he overtook them encamping by the sea besides Pihahiroth before Beelzebub. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses and the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Father, we're so thankful today for your power and might that was displayed all those years ago. We're also thankful that it is the same power that still exists today, that you can work in the hearts of your believers, that you can do mighty things, that you can turn the world upside down, that you can make things right as they should be. And so, Lord, today we ask that you empower us, strengthen us, cause us to see you in a new way, that we may be your servants doing your will at all the times. So, Lord, I pray that you would just move us mightily today with a great conviction, that you give me unction to say the things that are needful and necessary, that we may simply do as they did, follow you. So, Lord, today, bless your word and thank you for the promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I probably shared the story about the young man that got saved, was excited, went to Bible college, and man, he was so on fire for the Lord. Gets there one day after class, he sits on one of those pews in kind of the courtyard there, and he's reading his Bible, and he reads Exodus 14 and recognizes how God delivered the people of Israel. And he is excited, and he's just praising the Lord and praising the Lord. And a liberal professor sees this, walks up to him and says, "Young man, what you praising the Lord about?" He said, "Well, I see the miracle found in Exodus 14, how God calls the Red Sea to part, and all the Israelites went through, and then all the Egyptians followed, and then God caused the Red Sea to come back and destroyed that evil nation. How good it is." Well, the liberal college professor said, "Well, let me just kind of shed some light. We don't believe so much in miracles anymore." And so that was not the Red Sea, that was the Reed Sea. It was only 14 inches deep, and so God could have easily called a wind to move that back. And so, having convinced himself that he had discouraged this young man about miracles, the college professor began to walk away, only to hear, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." He turned around and said, "What are you doing? I thought we had this understanding." And he said, "Man, how good it is that God destroyed the whole Egyptian army in 14 inches of water. God is good." And I don't care what you believe in, my friends, but just know this: God is powerful and mighty. And if you will just trust in the Lord and see his great work, how good it is, and understand that God is able and willing to deliver his people. And so we've already had a quick explanation how God was pulling the people out of Egypt, got them to a point they left this wicked nation and were heading to the promised land that gets into the wilderness. But now I want you to see the first thing: there's a change in direction, a change in direction. We've seen that everything seems finally to be going good. They had suffered and suffered and suffered so long in the land of Egypt, and now God is directing them. But once they start, we're going to find that he changes a direction or a path that they're taking. I don't want to read too much because the sermon's kind of long, but Exodus chapter 12, we're going to find that God is going to stir up Pharaoh to finally let the people go. And so we find in Numbers 33:3 says, "They departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians," which again brings us back to chapter 14. And so Israel in verse 8 goes out with a high hand. Again, they're moving in a great direction. Everything seems to be going good. They left the land of Egypt behind, headed to the promised land. It seems to be a straight shot across. Everything was good. Well, notice the next thing, the command from the Lord. Everything's fixing to change. The command from the Lord. Let me read verse 2. "Speaking to the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Beelzebub, before it ye shall encamp by the sea." Again, they had a straight shot released to the promised land, but God says, "Nope, I want you to turn and make your way south." Now, again, the command comes to turn and change directions, and I just want you to recognize that Moses had been on this path many times. Remember, Moses had fled years earlier, made his way to that wilderness before he goes to the promised land, and he recognizes there's a way to go and a way not. He uses common sense to say, "Let's lead the people this way," but God says, "No, turn and do it my way." Now, it's not going to be a practical thing. I want you to recognize that. Sometimes we see an easy way or a straight way. It seems right, but sometimes the practical way is not God's way. And I think you'll get that idea as we go through this. And by the way, I'm a proponent of doing practical things. I want you to understand that we should use common sense. But sometimes we should not use the natural way, but the supernatural way. And yes, the Bible speaks about wisdom time and time again, but it is God's wisdom, not man's wisdom, that we need. The Bible says this, Isaiah 55:9, "The heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." But it also says in Jeremiah 29, "I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And so I want you to recognize that God has a plan for us. He has a path for us, that we should be on that path or follow God's plan. And I like that little acrostic. I've used this sometimes in my life about how do you know if you're on God's plan, or how can you receive a blessing from being on God's plan. That word P-L-A-N, P stands for a personal relationship. If you don't have a personal relationship with God, if you're not truly one of his, your plan is not going to work out as it could be. And so let me encourage you to seek the Lord and make sure that you have that personal relationship, which hopefully at the end of the sermon, you'll know how you can do that. Secondly, L stands for listen to his voice. There are so many voices out there that tell people what they should be doing. Have we listened to God's voice? God's voice was saying, go south. The rest of the people probably thought, let's go west. Then A is accept that plan. Accept wherever God leads you. Have you ever got a clear word from God, and the Lord said, I want you to do this, and you said, anybody else been there before? God says, I want you to do this, and you're like, oh, that's not really what I want to do. Let me just tell you, if you want to be on God's plan, accept that plan of God. Just simply do what he desires. And then lastly, N is never turn back. God has a plan that is good. He has a focus. He wants you to follow that plan. He wants you to simply step on the path and don't turn around. Paul said in the Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, brethren, I count myself not to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth those things which are before. In other words, start the path, start the plan, and don't turn back. Romans 11, 29, kind of obscure passage says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, God's plan is good and right, and he's not going to turn from that plan. When God says do this, he's not going to leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to leave you out to hang you out to dry. He has a plan, and he's going to do his part. He wants you to follow and do your part. So many times we turn around or we don't give our best effort. And there's so many passages how people have failed God because simply they were not willing to simply give it all they could and do those things that God desires. And so we find they are turning south. And we recognize, we know that they're in God's plan because now the cloud that was they were following, the fire by night and the cloud by day, now appears. And it's going to turn and go south. And it's going to be there for them to lead them in the right way. Now, we need to see this, that because they're being led in this way, it's going to be a tight spot. It's going to be a hard time in their life. They're going to be led to a spot that doesn't seem good for the moment, but God's got a great plan to work those things out for you. And you say, well, why lead them south to a place where they're going to be entangled in the land or a place they're going to be in trouble? See, there's going to be some water on this side and water on that side and mountains here. So when they get to this spot, there is no retreat. The only way they can simply move forward is through the Red Sea, which they're going to think they're not pretty good swimmers, but they don't have to swim. God's got this in the very end. So the question is, why lead them to this spot? God does a couple things, and he leads us the same way. One, he puts it in the tight spots to glorify himself, to make his power known, and to fully deliver us. Let me say that again. He leads us to tight spots to make himself known, to fully show his power, but also to fully deliver us. God gets us in that spot that we can't get out of, but God uses that to do something great in our lives. And so let me just ask you, when you get in the tight spot, what do you do? Be honest, do you truly seek the Lord as you should, unless you're in tight spots? Do you truly reach out in prayer and call on him, Lord, unless you're in those tight spots? I'm telling you, God allows us to be in tight spots that he may get honor and glory, and then for us to simply seek him with all of our heart. Matter of fact, Jeremiah 29, 13 says, and you shall seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. Proverbs 18, 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Matthew 7, 7, ask and shall be given you. Seek and you shall find, or knock and it shall be opened to you. I wonder, are we willing to be led by God, even to the tight spots in life, that God's great power may be demonstrated in our life? Before I move on, let me ask you, where is the Lord leading you? Are you willing to go? There's the command from the Lord, but secondly, there's the compliance of Israel. Notice verse 2, God's told them to turn. Verse 2 says, speaking to Israel that they may turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth. Verse 4, the end of the verse says, and they did so. Verse 4 shows us that God said, do this, and they did so. I want my life to be able to say the same thing. And whatever God says, if God says this, I want to be able to say, I did so. And I'm telling you, it makes all the difference when you simply follow the Lord. They could have gone in a bunch of different directions, but because God said this, to do this, they did. And you may ask, well, how is that possible? Well, let me tell you, the basic idea is because they knew God was speaking. And that's clear in our life. When you know God is speaking, I need to back up. Just because you get a feeling about something, make sure that what you do is from the Lord. Make sure you are following what God says. Don't let it be just some whim, but make sure it is from the Lord. You say, well, how did they know it was from the Lord? Well, I'm telling you, Moses was a man tapped into God, and the Lord was speaking to Moses. Notice, let me back up, Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. It says, then the Lord said unto Moses. Exodus 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses. Exodus 8, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Exodus 9, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses. Exodus 10, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart, the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs before him. Exodus 11, 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Exodus 12, 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Exodus 13, 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying. Exodus 14, 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses. You say, well, I'll read all of that because I want you to recognize they were in tune with the Lord. God was speaking and they heard. That is the most important thing in our lives, when we recognize God speaking to our hearts, that we follow that. And so the Lord was saying, turn and do it my way. Physically turn and mentally turn. They needed to understand that God was in control and follow his will. And it's good to recognize again that when God sends us, he will never leave us. Hebrews 13, 5 said, for he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so we recognize that God always calls us to a point that we need to turn in our lives and follow him. For some, even, that means salvation, that you're being living a life that maybe looks good, but never truly have submitted unto him. I'm telling you, we need to turn and follow him. Submit ourselves and call on the name of the Lord. Salvation is what is needed. Secondly, he may be calling you to turn in baptism and say, hey, I want you to make this known to others. I want you to show others that you're faithful and take a step of obedience and turn and go to the baptismal waters. It may be serving. God's calling you to turn and serve as you should. Or maybe God's calling you to share the gospel, to witness to others. He wants you to turn and meet somebody and share those good things. So the question is, as God is changing your direction, what is the Lord calling you to do? What change is he nudging you to do? And are you willing to obey the call of God? He called them to change directions, and he does that for us. But secondly, not just the change in direction, but now the concern of the people. I just want you to know that when God changes directions, things happen that are not always good. I have so many people say, man, I've got saved. Life is going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a bowl of cherries. Oh, how good it's going to be. They just have no idea. But God has this. So again, the concern of the people. I want you to see a couple of things happen when you decide to follow the Lord. Notice first, there's the challenge by the enemy. The challenge by the enemy. When you read verse 5 of chapter 14, it says, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh of his servants was turned against the people. Verse 8 says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued at the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high end, but the Egyptians pursued after them. All the chariots, all the horses of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and he overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Haroth before Beelzephon. And so we find they follow the Lord, and now the enemy comes against them. The enemy of Pharaoh, which was Pharaoh, and simply all of Egypt with all their might comes against them. And again, I want you to recognize in your life, when you try to do good, the enemy cannot stand that. He will send things against you. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. And so I want you to recognize that in this life, if you follow the Lord, there's a trial. Either you're in it, either you're out of it, or fixing to enter into another one. That's just how life is. But take cheer that God's got it under control. And so we need to turn and do great things for God's power and might and honor. And so if you stand up for good, the enemy will come against you. But like Romans says in chapter 8, verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There will be challenges by the enemy. But now notice this. There's the closed eyes of Israel in verse 10, the closed eyes of Israel. And when I say closed eyes, I don't mean they just closed their eyes and didn't see. They couldn't see anymore. But they failed to see God. Verse 10 says, and Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. Let me just stop right there. They failed to focus on the Lord. They just basically closed their eyes to what God was doing. God had just did mighty things. The 10 plagues, God had ruined Egypt. And yet, in their moment of distress, in their moment of challenges, in their moments of being in a tight spot, they closed their eyes to the Lord. Kind of like if you remember the Apostle Peter, when he gets out of the water, he steps out of that fishing boat in the waves, in the wind. It says in Matthew chapter 14, he says, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried to the Lord, saying, save me. And so just like Peter steps out of the boat in a raging sea, walks on water, but then begins to see the challenge of the waves coming, takes his eyes off Jesus. And in our life, when God's called us and we take a step of faith, I'm telling you, the enemy comes. Do not take your eyes off the Lord. We should focus on him. I love that story with Elisha, when Elisha was on that mountaintop with his servant and the enemy surrounded him, and the servant came back to Elisha and said, how shall we do? And Elisha said, it's okay. And he prays and says, Lord, open his eyes. And the young man had his eyes opened and saw the power of God, all the angels encamped around them. All I'm saying is today, when you have the calling of God to simply do his will, you will face challenges. Don't get your eyes off the Lord. Don't turn a blind eye to the power of God. He has this. So notice what happens to them. One, it produces fear. We read verse 10 again. In the middle of the verse, it says, they were sore afraid. I'm reminded that God's not given us that fear of timidity. Matter of fact, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Fear is the weapon used by the enemy that keeps us from moving forward. Fear stops us in our tracks. Fear keeps us from being used by God mightily. That's why Joshua said in chapter 1, verse 7, only be thou very strong and very courageous, that thou mayest do all that I, according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand or left hand, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. In other words, don't be afraid. Don't let fear stop you. Much of what we do that is wrong is because we fear. We have a fear of lack. We have a fear of being in trouble. We have a fear. I'm telling you, stand firm and fast. Don't be fearful, but push your trust in the Lord. Secondly, this idea of getting their eyes off the Lord produced fault finding. When you read verse 11, it says, and they said to Moses, because there was no grace in Egypt, that thou hast taken us out to die in the wilderness, wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Do you know when you have fear, when you get in a tight spot, you know what you begin to do? Blame others. I told you, Moses, I knew it was going to be like this. In our lack of faith, we grumble and complain. Anybody here ever do that? Amen? We need to get our eyes back on the Lord. Focus on those things that are right. Simply do as we should. And we do that in our marriage. We do that in our jobs. We do that in our church. When things are not going good, we get in a tight spot. We get our eyes off the Lord and we grumble and we blame others. But now notice what it did, which was positive. Finally, it produced a prayer. The end of verse 10 says, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They cried out to the one that could change things. Oh, they went out with a high hand, but now they are humbled. And oh, how good it is that God hears their prayers. I am so thankful the Lord hears our prayers, even in the moments that we are unfaithful, that we are unsure, that we have lack of faith. I am so glad that God still hears the prayers of his people. You may ask, well, why pray? Because it connects us to the power of the Almighty. We recognize that God wants us to be in step with Him, in touch with Him. He wants us to understand Him, not to be fearful, but to recognize that God can handle every situation in your life. So let me ask you before I move on, are you trying to do the right thing today? Don't be fearful. Call on the name of the Lord who has all power and authority. Step out by faith and follow Him. Well, here's the third point I want you to see. Not just the change in directions, the concern of the people, but thirdly, the conquest by the Lord. The conquest by the Lord. God is fixing to do a mighty work. But notice first, there's some things that take place. There is a plea for faith, a plea for faith. Verse 13 says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. Don't run away. Don't give it to the enemy. Stand still and watch what God's going to do. Oh, when things get rough, we want to bail. When things get hard, we want to blame. When things don't go our way, when we think no one, we just simply want to back up and go the wrong way. Moses said, stand still, and so should we. Again, Joshua says, be strong and very courageous that we may do what God's called us to do. In other words, Moses says, just trust the Lord. Watch and see. So we go from this plea of faith to the protection that was given. We're going to find something neat there in verse 19. It says, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. The pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that no one came not near to the other all night. And so we're going to see this unusual thing that God was leading them again with this pillar of cloud that at night was fire, but in the daytime was just a regular cloud, it looks like. And then this cloud that went before them came and separated between Israel and Egypt, so that they could not advance, so they could not come near Israel. And so God stayed them and held them off. But we need to recognize something. There were two camps, God's people and the lost, God's family and the evil, God's people and those that did not serve God. Two camps that got separated. And I just want to give you a quick plea here. You need to be in the right camp this morning. You need to recognize and see where you stand this morning. Which camp are you in? Which side are you on? It's the Lord or something else? Matthew 25 says that these verses kind of give us this clear picture that God's going to do something with the two camps. It says in Matthew 25:32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say to those on the right hand, come, ye blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so you have those two camps. God's always separated people out. Why not be in the right camp this morning by calling on the name of the Lord, by having faith in Him? Why not believe and trust Him and let Him put you in that right camp? Well, it doesn't stop there. There was a plea for faith, the protection that was given with that cloud and fire. But thirdly, there's a procedure that was required, a procedure that was required. Verse 15 says, and the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward, but lift up thou thy rod, stretch thy hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Verse 21 says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. I like that word. It says stretch. That is nautal. It means to pitch a tent. And so God says, you're in a tight spot, but I'm going to deliver you. Take the rod, stretch it out over the sea, and see what happens. Pick up the rod and stretch it out and see my deliverance. I wonder if Moses said, oh, well, what if nothing happens and all these people behind me, and what's going to be what are they going to think of me? And so it is for us today. God's called us to pick up the rod and stretch it out and see what happens and see the power of God. Now, this is probably not what that rod looked like, but this is what I keep my wife in line with. Amen. I'm just kidding. Now, He used something like this to stretch out. And again, the word Nautal means to pitch a tent. It was an action where the rod had nothing to do with it. His hand had nothing to do with it. It was the power of God. But God used this symbol to deliver people. Now, wouldn't you like to have a rod like this? Man, I would take mine fishing, amen. I would part, man, how good it would be. But God's not called us to use it like that. God's used us to call his power to deliver people. And so your rod may not look like this, but it may look like this. Let me just tell you, we do ministry lots of times using hammer and drills that part the water for people that cannot get in their own homes. They have difficulties. And I'm telling you, it makes a huge difference. They see the power of God through people. Maybe that's your rod today. Maybe it's this is your rod today. A simple call may encourage somebody. A simple text may encourage somebody. I've heard stories time and time again about people on their deathbed, suicide in contemplating, and a call from somebody that loved them and cared enough to share just a little bit about, hey, I love you, I'm here for you. Man, this is a deliverance thing right here. This is the rod of God. It may be this right here. God's called you to help take people to places they cannot get, that they need to get to. Maybe a doctor or a hospital, whatever. Maybe it's to some other place. I'm telling you, this little thing, your car keys, can be used to part a Red Sea in some people's lives. It may be something like this. A $20 bill. You say, what is this? Maybe there's somebody in need. If you've ever been in need, you recognize just a little bit goes a long way. I don't know what your rod of God is, but I do know this, that God has called us to be a people that have faith enough to stretch out our hands to be used by God to change everything, to change the world around us. Moses simply picks up the rod of God, and man, the difference that it makes. I wonder, will God use us this next little bit? I wonder how he will convict us and guide us. Will we have enough conviction to pick up the rod and be used for the Lord, for his people? So you have this plea, you have this protection, you have this procedure that was required. But fourthly, the product of obedience. Notice verse 21 again, the waters were divided. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Do you know what I see? A miracle. God never called the people to walk on water, but on dry land. And I'm telling you, your little thing that you do, God parts those seas. And it's not water walking that we need. It's just enough faith to walk forward. And so God used Moses to do those things, and he's calling us to do the same thing, make a difference. So waters were divided. But secondly, the enemy was destroyed. Notice verse 28. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. The sea returned in its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. And so we are amazed at this. If you look at other places, we find that they were harnessed together. And so they go over by companies, that the Israelites, they're going through in an orderly fashion. I don't know how long it took, but they went through and through that pillar of fire and cloud by day and night, kept the Egyptians from following. But at the right time when the people were over, the cloud lifted and they pursued, and Moses turned around and used the same rod to defeat the enemies of God by God's power. And again, how great that is. The Lord took care of his people, and the Lord took care of the enemies of God's people. And I'm telling you today, you may be facing tough times and hard trials in your life. Trust in the Lord. When there's a tight spot, you can't seem to see any up or down. I'm telling you, trust in the Lord. Through all this, God's got a word for you, and that is to move forward when he says to go. They did so, and God blessed them. But thirdly, the people were dazzled. We recognize that God's going to do a mighty work. The waters were divided. The people, the Egyptians were destroyed. But the people were dazzled in verse 31. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Can you imagine walking through the Red Sea and those walls of water on each side? Can you imagine seeing all this? And then getting past and turning around and saying, oh no, here comes the Egyptians. And looking back there and seeing all those chariots and then that water enclosing them. And recognize God has delivered me and saved me. How great God is. You say, man, I wish I was there. But I'm telling you, God does that same thing in our life many times. We may not see the Red Sea like that, but God does deliver us. Can you see and understand the impact it made on them? It should make an impact on us to recognize that God has delivered us from the enemy of death, that God has saved us from the power of darkness, that God has helped us. And on the cross, he destroyed those things. Paul would say, where is thy sting? He recognized the grave had no victory, but there was power in Christ Jesus that had overcome all things. And so the people rejoiced and shouted and recognized the Lord. I want us to do that same thing. Hopefully you're here today and you recognize what God's done for you and not take it for granted. Hopefully you'll recognize that God has made a way for you and you won't take it for granted. Hopefully this morning will be a day of deliverance that you will walk through and you will be saved forevermore. God's made everything possible. All we have to do is simply follow him by faith. God has made a way. Let me close with a poem that came to mind some years ago. It says, it is a step of faith we're called to give when for the Lord we live. Not a giant leap over a mountain tall, but a forward step that seems so small. But it's a step made in faith that cannot fail, for it's not us, but the Lord who will prevail. He will roll back the waters and turn back the tide. There is no river too fast or ocean too wide. But these mighty things depend on God and you, his great power and your follow through. So what step will you take as God gently leads? Will it be in the form of actions or words or kind, loving deeds? No matter the faithful step, the outcome is the same. It leads to victory in Christ's blessed name. So let me give you the invitation this morning. For some of you, you may not know the Lord. You may have never asked him, but you just feel something's pricking your heart, something's drawing you or pulling you. I'm telling you, Christ Jesus desires for us to name him as Lord. He is calling you today. Why not say, Lord Jesus, save me? If you're not sure, call on him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Why not let that be your testimony today? And at the end, when we begin to sing, you walk down this aisle and say, Brother Paul, I need Jesus. What next? Maybe it's something else today. Maybe you're a child of God, but I'm telling you, you're in a tight spot. Instead of walking forward, you're grumbling and complaining. You're upset. You're fearful. Why not trust the Lord today? Why not say, Lord, I need you like never before. As you delivered the Israelites, deliver me today. Give me faith that steps out. I'm telling you, God will. Trust him. Maybe today it's ministering. God's called you to raise that rod for people, to serve him by serving others. Make a commitment today to do that. Maybe God's called you to this place to do that. We'll take you just like you are. If you're a believer, been baptized, man, how good that is. We'll come join us. We'll fight the good fight together. Maybe it's this altar and you want to pray for yourself or somebody else that you know cannot get out except by the power of God. He is calling us, just like Moses, to be deliverers by God's great power and love and mercy. When we witness for him and share his goodness, it is God that shows up, shows out, and changes everything. The question is today, will we follow the Lord? I hope you'll say yes. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment. We can think about so many people in times like this, but why not take a moment and just think about yourself? See where God has you and see where God wants you. And if the two are not in line, why not turn from your ways and turn to his? It will be the best turning or step that you ever did. God's calling this morning. I wonder how we'll answer. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you do. Thank you, Lord, for your power and might and your deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us and willing to shed that to us or show it to us. Lord, I pray that you would prick our hearts, that you convict us, guide us, lead us to be in step with you at all times. Lord, turn us from our ways to your ways. Help us to do so this morning. We ask all this now in Jesus' name.